Airbus brings home another big order from China. The falling dollar has EADS rethinking Power 8. And the FAA says Connecticut towns have had ample opportunity for comment. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, November 27th, 2007. China continues to prove a lucrative market for Airbus. On Monday, the European plane maker announced it signed contracts with the Chinese government for 160 airliners, valued at roughly $15 billion at list prices. Media reports indicate the deal includes 110 A320 family narrowbody airliners and 50 A330 widebodies. The deal was signed in Beijing during the first state visit by French President Nicolas Sarkozy. Reuters reports the deal was salvaged at the last minute after a series of high-level political talks. China was set to purchase just 30 aircraft. French officials say Sarkozy was out to top his predecessor, Jacques Chirac, who was able to secure a 150-plane order for Airbus from China. Now, Sarkozy may be coming home to France with the largest ever airliner order from China. As ANN reported, Airbus is building an A320 manufacturing plant in China to meet an expected swell in orders from the region. The new plant is located in Tianjin, and the Associated Press reports it's expected to be in operation in 2009, producing 300 planes per year by 2016. A report in the French press suggests the U.S. dollar has now fallen so low against the euro that EADS may be rethinking its Power 8 restructuring plan. The strategy for turning the company around included job cuts, but also partnering or selling off 7 factories. Because most aircraft sales are denominated in dollars, and Airbus incurs costs paid in euros, the recent fall of the dollar against the euro has been an albatross for Airbus and a boon to Boeing. But now, the euro is worth $1.50 U.S., and even prospective partners or buyers for the Airbus plants are having trouble making a deal pencil out. The French press agency is reporting EADS may simply split the factories off into a separate company. EADS CEO Louis Gallois recently announced that EADS will seek to partner with or acquire U.S. firms to shift some of its production into locations where costs are paid in dollars and make cuts in development programs to stem what are predicted to be continued massive losses from shifting currency exchange rates. The Federal Aviation Administration is responding to communities in southern Connecticut which are suing to stop the FAA's reorganization of the airspace over New York and Philadelphia. The Stamford Advocate reports that FAA official Nancy Kalinowski wrote to Connecticut State Senators Bob Duff and Andrew McDonald to say, in part, quote, "We agree it's important to consider the concerns of area residents. The public was given 3 separate opportunities to comment. Since the FAA is facing legal challenges regarding the airspace redesign, it would be inappropriate for the FAA to attend public hearings before these legal issues are resolved," unquote. As ANN reported, 11 Connecticut communities which lie under proposed airliner flight paths, joined by Pound Ridge, New York, are pooling resources for a lawsuit. They're saying that their residents' concerns were not addressed and that the FAA is taking shortcuts in the environmental review process. Kalinowski countered that the FAA has followed the public process as outlined by the National Environmental Policy Act. Quote, "The public was given 3 separate opportunities to comment during the NEPA process. The FAA held over 120 public and information meetings as part of this process, distributed newsletters, and created a website to educate, inform, and receive feedback from concerned citizens and organizations," unquote. The redesign is intended to create more possible routes for aircraft departing the New York airports as part of a strategy to address rapidly growing delays in the region. Miami International Airport has introduced an interesting wrinkle into holiday air travel. The airport's Concourse A has been closed for construction. The airport's North Terminal Development Program has been stalled for 10 years, and several of the airlines serving MIA think the $2.7 billion expansion program is so urgent, they've agreed to be moved temporarily to the airport's Central and South Terminals. The contractor tells the South Florida Business Journal that more than 100 contractors are beginning work, and by the middle of next year, there will be 1,500 workers employed on the project. The impact of the closing will be mitigated by MIA's new South Terminal, which opened on September 24th. That 1.7 million square foot expansion includes 61 new restaurants and stores, a new customs area, and gates large enough to handle the Airbus A380. Up next on ANN, Iran's Air Force loses 2 pilots in the crash of a 60s vintage F-4. The feds investigate the case of an SR-22 that rolled inverted on final. and FAA extends the comment period for ADS-B. You're listening to Aero News.
Do you think the only time your certified airplane can be equipped with a full emergency airframe parachute recovery system is when it rolls off the production line? Well, think again. BRS is the aftermarket leader in providing full airframe recovery parachutes for certified airplanes like yours. We manufacture the reliable parachute systems you need for a full range of aircraft, including Cessna. For your own safety and for that of your family members and loved ones, get the extra life assurance of a BRS airframe recovery parachute. In the event of an emergency, you'll never question the security of having one final option. Call BRS at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 27th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. An Iranian Air Force F-4 Phantom crashed into the Oman Sea early Monday, killing both pilots on board. Iran's semi-official Fars News Agency reports the 60s-era fighter crashed off Iran's southeastern coast near the port of Konarak and that the cause is still unknown. In a release to Iran's state-run IRNA news agency, military officials confirmed, quote, both pilots were martyred, unquote. Iran is working to update its air force, currently comprised of U.S.-made F-14 Tomcats, F-4s, and F-5 Tigers. Those aircraft were sold to Iran in the 1970s during the pro-Western rule of Shah Reza Pahlavi. When Islamic clerics took over in 1979, the U.S. cut off the flow of spare parts. Iran has now reportedly turned to Russia and China for warplanes. It's widely reported in Israeli and Russian media. Iran plans to order a mix of Sukhoi Su-30s and China's new Chengdu J-10 fighter to replace its museum-vintage U.S.-made aircraft. The country also claimed recently to have started production on its own fighter. The Sagay, or Lightning, appears to be based heavily on the Northrop F-5, although it's equipped with twin tails. It's not known yet whether winds gusting above 20 miles per hour played a part in a light plane crash Sunday at Faribault Municipal Airport in Minnesota. The FAA reports a Cirrus SR-22 arriving on a flight from Aberdeen, South Dakota, rolled on final approach and hit the ground inverted near the runway. The AP reports the pilot was making his second attempt at landing, and the plane burst into flames on impact. Dead are the pilot and three passengers, whose identities were not available as of Monday evening. Faribault has an available crosswind runway. Heeding calls from the aviation industry, including a petition from the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, the FAA is allowing more time to weigh in on its automatic dependent surveillance broadcast proposal. In its petition for the 60-day extension, AOPA questioned the financial feasibility for general aviation and sought assurances the proposal would improve ATC services at GA airports while enhancing safety. AOPA President Phil Boyer says it's important for the FAA to get this right. Quote, at the current cost of $8,000 to $10,000 per aircraft for ADS-B equipment, it is a lot of money to spend for the same access and services we now have with a transponder, unquote. Several other industry groups also proposed an extension. ITT Corporation has the contract to build and operate the ADS-B ground infrastructure and supply aircraft position data to the FAA. The FAA wants a deadline of 2020 for planes flying within Class B and C airspace and above 10,000 feet to be equipped for ADS-B. We've all heard that commercial aviation is facing a recruitment crisis over the next few years, but passengers on regional airlines who look in the cockpit may already be noticing what we might politely call shifting demographics. Flight schools are even complaining that keeping flight instructors, who often do that work just to build hours required for airline careers, are getting poached with far fewer hours under their belts these days. The Star-Telegram in Texas reports some regionals are hiring pilots with the FAA's minimum required hours for the license. Regionals say they're adjusting training to pair these inexperienced hires with veteran co-pilots for longer periods. Pilot unions are expressing concern about the impact on safety, but Roger Cohen, president of the Regional Airline Association, tells the paper, quote, anyone who raises safety as an issue has some other agenda, unquote. After years of declining student pilot starts, the forced retirement of many Vietnam-era military veterans, increasing competition from corporate, cargo, and foreign aviation employers, even pilots with pimples can look forward to rising salaries. Industry sources predict a need for thousands of new pilots a year going forward, and it's still not clear where they'll be found. Still ahead, another World War II hero has gone west. Pittsburgh International thrives despite U.S. Airways cutbacks. and British Airways cancels a flight after the cabin staff partied all night. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, November 27, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. Aero News has learned of the passing of retired Marine Colonel Jefferson DeBlanc Sr., who became an ace during World War II. He was 86 and died on Thanksgiving Day of complications from pneumonia. The Associated Press reports DeBlanc earned the Medal of Honor, the U.S. military's highest honor for bravery, for his actions during an air raid against the Japanese in the Solomon Islands on January 31, 1943. The young lieutenant, in his early 20s at the time, was the leader of six planes that provided air cover. Flying an F-4F Grumman Wildcat, he downed two Japanese float planes and one fighter before heading for the naval base in Henderson Field. He then spotted two Japanese planes climbing up behind the bombers. His entire group was low on fuel, so Henderson ordered the rest of his flight squadron to return. He personally took on and shot down two enemy aircraft, knowing he would likely not have enough fuel to return safely. The F-4F was shot up, and DeBlanc parachuted into the ocean, where he swam all night to reach Kolombarangara Island. Henderson was then captured by local natives and traded to another tribe for rice before he was finally picked up by a Navy float plane and returned to his squadron. After the war, he returned to St. Martinville, Louisiana, where he was a school teacher and administrator. He retired from the Marine Corps Reserve in 1972. Greatest generation, indeed. There were lots of folks who feared the worst for Pittsburgh International Airport when U.S. Airways announced a reduction in service there. But if there has been an economic hit, you'd never know it from the airport's balance sheet. Allegheny County Airport Authority CEO Bradley Penrod told the Pittsburgh Business Times, quote, "Financially, the airport is sound." He says that through October, airport revenue is up $6 million over last year to $116 million. Expenses are $5.5 million under budget, and total airport revenue should hit $140 million for the year. Parking and rental car revenue are proving windfalls, already exceeding last year's totals just through October. The BBC reports that a British Airways flight from Manchester to New York was canceled after the cabin staff was accused of being drunk just hours before takeoff. Police answered an anonymous call at about 4:15 a.m. on Friday, complaining that an airline crew was partying at a Manchester hotel. The plane was due to leave at 10 a.m. A spokesman for BA said no allegations were made against the plane's two pilots, but the issues with the cabin crew are under investigation. Quote, "British Airways takes allegations of this nature very seriously," unquote. A police spokesman said legally the matter is considered closed and no criminal charges are pending, but added that information on the complaint has been turned over to British Airways for use in its own internal investigation. And finally, the next time you look up to admire a full moon in the Earth's sky, count yourself lucky. Astronomers at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory say new observations from NASA's Spitzer Space Telescope suggest moons formed out of tremendous collisions, as they believe ours was, happen at most in only 5 to 10% of planetary systems. Scientists believe Earth's moon arose about 30 to 50 million years after our sun was born, when a body the size of Mars collided with the infant Earth, breaking off a piece of its mantle. Some of the resulting debris fell into orbit around Earth, eventually coalescing into the moon we see today. The other moons in our solar system either formed simultaneously with their planets, or were captured by their planet's gravity as they passed by. The scientists figured the odds by using the telescope to look in other galaxies for the dust which would accompany a collision like the one believed to have formed our moon. Apparently, that's rare. So that dust bunny making my computer overheat is not a sign of bad housekeeping. It's just evidence of an extremely rare planetary phenomenon. And that's the latest from Aero News. I know, you're not buying the planetary phenomenon bit either, are you? Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, we'll get an update on how airline travelers fared over the holiday weekend from Kate Hanai of the Coalition for an Airline Passenger's Bill of Rights. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCast. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.